This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhambra Productions presents The Rights and Responsibilities of Marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen. Allahumma la ilma illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. Allahumma iftah 'alaina hikmatak wa anshur 'alaina rahmatak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Wa salli Allahumma 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala alihi al kiram. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al 'aliyyil 'azim. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al 'aliyyil 'azim. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al 'aliyyil 'azim. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل وأعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلب الدين وقهر الرجال. الحمد لله.
Before we go into the subject, what I wanted to do, because there's a beautiful hadith about Imam Ali, it's in At-Tirmidhi, and it, when he talked about all the end of latter days, tribulations and all the difficulties, the Prophet ﷺ said, fitanun ka qata'a layl al-mudhlim, the tribulations would come like periods of a dark black night, one after another. And Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, man makhraj yawma idhin ya Rasulullah, how do we get out of that on in those days? And he said, kitabullah, the way out is the book of Allah. Because that's really the, for us, that is the explanation. And so I want to look, this relates to male-female relations, which is what this is about, inshallah, and then the result of those relationships, which are generally children. The chapter, which is called Ar-Rum, Surat Ar-Rum, generally it's called Ar-Rum, and it refers to the Eastern Roman Empire. But Ar-Rum generally refers also to Europeans, to and also to Christian. It begins like the Baqarah with Alif Lam Mim, and then it just mentions about the Romans, غُرِبَتْ الروم, that the Romans have been defeated, fi adna al-ard, and this was in the nearer land, but it also means the lowest point, which is Palestine. Palestine is the lowest point on the earth. Geographically, it literally is the lowest point on the earth, which is one of the meanings of that verse. And then it's remarked that within 10 years, Allah is the command in the former case and in the latter. In that day, believers will rejoice, which was also the victory that the Prophet ﷺ was given on the same day. So this is one of the ghaybiyat of the Qur'an, the victory that the Prophet ﷺ had on that day when he defeated the polytheists, also occurred on the same day that the Romans regained the upper hand against the Persians. So the believers rejoiced, one, because the Quran was true for them, but also because the victory came on the same day. And then it says, he helps to victory whom he wills, which is interesting also, because one of the things about يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that Allah gives victory to whomever He pleases. يَعِزُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He gives victory to whomever He pleases, and He abases whomever He pleases. And if you look historically in the Islamic history, there are many periods where the Muslims were defeated quite radically. And certainly the Tartar period is an incredible period. But, you know, after Genghis Khan comes down with his hordes and overwhelms the Muslims in Iraq and Persia and all those areas, Tamerlane, Taimur Lank, becomes Muslim. So by one generation, they become Muslim. And it's interesting because they actually revived Islam. They become revivers of Islam. So they conquered the Muslims, but then they actually become Muslims. And when they came in, nobody did what they did. Ibn Athir said, who was one of the great historians of Islam, from the beginning of time until the present day, there has been never been a greater scourge on earth than there was of the Mughals. And he saw it. He saw what they did. But that was his opinion as a historian, that never in the history of human civilization had there been a worse scourge. I mean, they went in and massacred everybody. The Euphrates River ran black from ink because they dumped millions of books. I mean, a lot of the books of Islam disappeared during that time. Imam Malik had several books that are gone. He had a book on astronomy, Imam Malik. And then it says, it is a promise of Allah, and Allah does not break His promise. وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, which is a really important motif in the Quran that occurs again and again. Most people don't know, which is another really important thing to keep into consideration, that from a Quranic understanding, most people really don't know what's going on, neither in the web or the weaver of the web. People just don't know what's going on. Most people, the life is so short that they really can't work out what's going on. And that's the beauty of revelation, is that you have this opportunity. The Torah, the Injil, and then the Quran gave the people who received those revelations, gave them the opportunity to really see reality as it was. I mean, that's what this is. It's a blueprint to that. Now, this next verse is really interesting in relation to Ar-Rum, because it says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَّةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know about the outward of the world, but they've forgotten about the other side of this world, which is the mirror image of this world, which is Akhirah. So this is Ula, and then there's Akhirah. This is the first, and then there's the second. Right, we come into this world and we're here for this short period of time, and there's a reminder here that you can get lost in the ظاهر. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا. See, so you start looking at that web, and the web is so intricate that you can spend your entire life just looking at the web and trying to work out how the web works and forget about the source of the whole thing, of where it all comes from, and then what it's pointing to, because the web is pointing to the weaver of the web, right? The spider. When you see the web, there's a spider nearby. And the world is also pointing and indicating something, which is that there is a force behind all of this, and if you forget that, then you've forgotten the whole point of the thing. But because of the power of the world and coming into the world, it's very easy to forget by the nature of the world, that we get so caught up in the world that we forget that not only are we in time temporal creatures, we're moving out of this world into another world. And one of the things that years ago, Murabt al-Hajj, when I was leaving Tuaimarat, he told me, he said, as you move towards Kamur, which is the town that you get the car from, he said, every step you make towards that is a step closer to your destination and a step further away from where you've left. And he said, and that's what the world is like. Right? Every breath you take is a breath closer to your ultimate destination, which is to leave the world. And on the escalator, I was on that escalator, I've told people this, but it was really interesting. I was with Sheikh Abdullah, and we were on this escalator in the airport, and it was the first time we'd ever been on an escalator. And we were sitting there moving along, and he said, Subhanallah, this is just like the world. You think you're stationary, but you're moving. And then when we came up to the end of it, there was a sign, and it said, beware, the end comes abruptly. So I translated the sign for him, and he just said, Subhanallah. So that's the thing about, whenever you get on an escalator, just remember that that's what the world is like. And the thing about being in a boat is you'll often hear people say, it's so nice to watch these things pass by, right? That's their perspective. But they're not passing by, you're passing by. They're all staying where they are. But that's the illusion. It's that parallax view that you fall into because of the nature of distances. So knowing this world, according to our tradition, is that when you die, the only thing you remember are things related to the Akhirah. All of your knowledge that you learned in the world is forgotten on your death, except what you learn that benefits you in the akhirah. All the worldly knowledge goes. And that's something to think about. And then right after that, أَوَرَمْ يَتَفَكِّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Don't they think about themselves? You know, don't they reflect on the nature of the nafs? مَا خَرَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah didn't create the heavens and the earth and what's between them except with the truth. وَأَجْرٍ مُسَمَّى. And to an appointed term. And even material sciences have arrived to that understanding that the universe does have, it would appear that it has an appointed term. It's going to end. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. But so many people about meeting their Lord are in a state of rejection. They don't believe it, that it's going to happen. أَوَرَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Haven't they traveled in the earth? فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Haven't they reflected on the people who existed before them? كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. They had greater strength than they did. وَأَثَارُوا الْأَرْضَ وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا. They actually did things with the earth and cultivated the earth in ways that you haven't done. And I don't care what, you know, all the buildings that modern man has made. Look at the pyramids. Look, because we don't even know what was going on there. People don't really know what the pyramid. I mean, look at these places around the world and reflect on this idea, and then look at the flimsiness of modern civilization, how easy it is to just disappear. Because, I mean, an atomic bomb could obviously destroy, but so, I mean, this is the idea that the ancients, they did extraordinary things. وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And these messengers came to them with all these clear signs. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمُهُمْ. So it was not Allah who was oppressing them. It wasn't Allah who was oppressing them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But they oppressed themselves. And that's a really important, another important motif to remember in the Qur'an. There's this constant understanding that we oppress ourselves, and that there's things to learn in the world. And one of them is that when you point fingers outside of yourself, you're deflecting always from the real work, because you cannot change what is outside yourself in the way that you can change what's inside yourself. أَثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ. And then the affair of those who did these foul things, and كَذَّبُوا بِآيَةِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَهْزِيُونَ, that they denied the signs of God, and then they made fun of them. And this is a really important thing in the Qur'an, istihzat, the idea of making fun. None of the people that made fun of the Prophet became Muslim. Not one of them. They were called the مُسْتَهْزِيُونَ. Not one of them became Muslim. The people that mock and joke about any sacred thing. The Prophet never made fun of people's beliefs, ever. You'll find nowhere in the seerah where he made fun of anyone's belief. When he saw people that were worshiping idols, he felt compassion. He did not feel mockery or superiority. He really wanted those people to be free of the fetters of superstition, that this is not worthy of worship. And that's what La ilaha illallah means. There's nothing worthy of worship. I mean, that's the interpretation that the scholars give it. La ilaha, la ma'bud bihaqqin. There is nothing worshipped in truth other than Allah. There can be things worshipped, but they're not worshipped in truth. La ma'buda bihaqqin siwa Allah. There's nothing worshipped in truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this idea of making fun of Allah's signs is really, really dangerous.